Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvick are with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe has created a monster this morning on the program, comparing John Robinson and Mike Vrabel to Wham!
Thank you, Dennis J. Burnside. At Dennis J. Burnside on Twitter. He just, I mean, Vrabel with that feathered hair.
Oh, gosh, I haven't seen this yet.
Oh, dude. It's an pin that to your profile, DJ. Pin this one to your profile.
Oh, God.
It's a nice photo, too, of Wham. Like, I'm glad to know that they took some photos where they were both, you know, like, kind of both in the frame. Because it seems like it would always be, like, you know, George Michael up front and then Andrew would be, like, way in the background, you know, kind of blurred out. So it's nice to see that they took some photos of them both together.
It is nice to see. I've just tweeted it out, too, at R. Stanley NHL on Twitter. 615-737-1025. So, Joe, the Orange Bowl matchup for Tennessee. They'll take on Clemson. I said it earlier, I was looking on FanDuel Sportsbook, Clemson a seven-point favorite in this game. But you made the comment yesterday, maybe the best game of the bowl season that's not a college football playoff game. What do you think of this matchup for Tennessee? And it's a bowl game. We talk about the college football playoff all the time. But what does this game mean for the Vols? If you're able to go win against Clemson, close out the season 11-2, what would that mean for Josh Heupel and this program?
You know, like, what's the tangible path? I mean, I just think you keep momentum going. Obviously, it's so different now because it used to always be like, you know, that bowl game could really vault you into the next month because you basically have a month till signing day. So you have a great showing from your fans. You play well. You just have a, you know, you take advantage of being on a big stage and then boom, you take that into the schools and everything and you're, you know, and you might, who knows, you might flip a few guys, you keep some guys, you end up with a really good class. It helps your class. Now, you know, signing day is December 21st. That's the real signing day, you know, so it's different in those terms. It's actually like there's a lot of things that make bowl games less important these days, you know.
Yep.
Less and less, unless they are part of this tournament that's going to keep getting bigger. It's going to be harder for them to, you know, to I think get as much attention and get people as excited and all that stuff. But this is a New Year's Six game. This is a primetime game. And again, I think it's because the opponent is someone you actively, it's not a conference opponent, but it is a recruiting opponent without question. It's a recruiting opponent that has done a lot of damage to you over the years with where they've been and then your inability to stabilize and, you know, get into the fight. So this is a game. You go beat them, you're in the fight. Look, if you lose this game, is it, like, win or lose, does it have any impact on next year's record? No. But I think that there's a bigger picture aspect of it, of having another opportunity for a lot of people who watch college football to watch you and watch you play well. And, of course, it's a Joe Milton opportunity.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, to me, if they win this game against Clemson, it probably means that Joe Milton has played really well. I mean, Clemson has a good defense. Now, I am interested to see, like, from an opt-out standpoint, who's available on both teams, and maybe we'll get some more information on that as the game gets closer here. Josh Heupel did say that he expects to have pretty close to his full roster available to him, players that are healthy. So we'll see what happens on that front. But I think this is an opportunity for Joe Milton, who, quite frankly, I didn't think played very well against Vanderbilt. He won the game 56-0, so it didn't really matter. But this is an opportunity for him against a good defense, against a quality opponent, to show what he's got. And I'm interested to see how he responds to this moment. Does it mean that if he plays poorly that he's not the starting quarterback next year? Not necessarily. Although I will say, like, if you're Josh Heupel, the body of evidence in the game so far for Joe Milton as a starting quarterback isn't great. So, like, it's important, I think, to see him play well and to feel a little bit better about that heading into next year. Like, I understand that if he doesn't, that doesn't mean he can't play well next year. But at some point, you got to play well in a game as a starting quarterback if you're Joe Milton. And we've not really seen him do that yet.
Yeah. No, I think Joe Milton has a lot of advantages. Look, and even like Taven Jackson getting hurt this year kind of slows his progress down. Nico's coming in, true freshman. He may be so good that it doesn't matter. But at this level of college football, I have my – I have my doubts about the true freshman. Most of these even great young quarterbacks have had that year, and then they get their chance. It's usually times out that way lately. There have been exceptions to that. And Joe Milton, I think, is in a leadership position with this team. He's in a great position with the locker room. He's so talented, and they see it every day. But you're right. If you can't put it together in a game, that's just a reality of some players, some athletes. Is just like they just, for whatever reason, can't put it all together and perform their best in games. I think it's a really important game for him in that regard. And it's a real look. Clemson will have some opt-outs, but they'll have some NFL guys covering, tackling, pass rushing, et cetera, in this game. So it's a legit look at playing a really good team on a big stage, and what do you do with it? It's whatever he does isn't going to determine the competition, but I think it'll kind of point it one way or the other starting out.
Well, look, I'll be just being honest. Like, I think it's a better Clemson team than they've been because DJ Uiagalelei is not the starting quarterback. Like, Klubnik looked pretty good the other night. I think he's obviously highly talented. So
yeah,
they think that his future is really bright there, but Clemson looked pretty good the other night against North Carolina,
and DJ looked terrible.
So,
well, and it, by the way, there's a little bit of a parallel here. You know, DJ as a recruit was. Did you just talk about it yesterday, or someone had this ridiculous? Someone was talking about this recently. Like it was like he's like a combo of I don't even remember what it was, but it was like ridiculously unfair expectations. It's like he's a combo of, you know, Josh Allen and Dante Culpepper or something. Like I don't remember what it was, but it's like ridiculous. Everybody knows he's super talented. He doesn't play well in games.
No.
He usually doesn't play well in games, so finally he lost his job. And that may be the deal with Joe Milton. I'm not convinced that it is yet. But you've gotta be able to be more accurate, and you gotta be able to take advantage of opportunities. And maybe you just gotta drop back to your own 10 and then you're gonna be fine.
You think it makes sense for a guy like Jalin Hyatt to play in this game?
I probably wouldn't. I mean, now it's interesting. So he got this awesome NIL deal.
He did.
The Hyatt. And so apparently, so that means everyone's comped at the Hyatt?
Is that
what I'm reading correctly from Darren Rovell? So at least, like, hang out. I mean, honestly,
he's projected right now to be a first-round pick. Now, look, projections from now until April when the draft happens can change pretty wildly, but, I mean, he's projected first-round pick right now.
You know, look, I'm would not shame – this is what I hate about the whole opt-out thing, is I'm totally – if any player wants to do it, do it. What bothers me is when people get mad at players who don't do it, you know, because, I mean, look, the non-contact – take a wrong step and you tear your ACL, you're going to be working out for the draft every day. That could happen in any of those workouts, just like it did with Jeff Simmons. So, but you're still taking live hits in a live game. So I would, if I was his agent, I would advise him to not do it. Of course, that also is my bottom line that's being impacted, but it's his bottom line potentially.
Sure.
If you tear your ACL or you get a serious injury, you could lose some draft stock. So I wouldn't do that if I was that high of a prospect. Middle round prospect, I think there could be value in like playing well in a game like that. But for him, I think it's too much of a risk.
I'm interested to see what he does. I would be surprised, Joe, if Cedric Tillman plays. And he's been dealing with the injury all year long. And to me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for him to play. Like, he needs to get healthy and get ready for the draft. So I think there's at least a great chance he's not going to play. I think there's a real chance they could be without Hyatt and Tillman in this game. So that just depends entirely on Jalin Hyatt and what he wants to do. But Brew McCoy, who couldn't really go against Vanderbilt, it'd be nice to see him back in there and kind of look ahead to what you may have next year if you're Tennessee with Joe Milton and Brew McCoy.
Yep. Yeah. And Squirrel White will be definitely part of, you know, that offense next year for sure. And, of course, they've already had – no, wait, Callaway and Holloway both in the portal. Is that right? Am I right about that?
I've only seen Holloway, but that doesn't
okay,
mean
maybe
that
I'm
not right.
Okay, I apologize then. Yeah. No, I may well be wrong. Holloway for sure in the portal. And that makes sense. I mean, he Squirrel White came in and just passed him. I mean, that's just – so – I guess if you're Jalen Hyatt, you could look at this game like, I'm going to prove to these NFL scouts that I can actually catch up with the Joe Milton deep ball, which means I run a 4-1.
Run a 3-8 40 down the sideline. Look, Joe Milton, he's just – I do think there could be something to – maybe, Joe, instead of the 7-step drop, maybe take it to 9 or 10. Just take a couple extra steps
back. Yeah, give yourself a little extra time, a little more – make it tougher on those pass rushers, and it all works out.
Maybe so. Shane from the Borough on the text line says, watching UT fans melt down this week has been kind of funny. The team gets its first 10-win season in 15 years, and they think every trophy in existence should be given to them. They haven't won an SEC title in 24 years. UT fans need to go sit back down at the kiddie table and hush. They have not been excused yet. This from Shane in the Borough on the text line.
Wow. Who is Shane a fan of?
I don't know. Apparently not Tennessee.
He's either an Alabama or Vandy or Kentucky fan. It's got to be one of the three, right?
A lot of bitterness.
A lot of bitterness from two of those, and then, of course, the Bama fans lost to him, so they can't stand him. I mean, look, Shane, all that's fine, but there's a lot of people, including AP, college football reporter Ralph Russo, Athletic, college football reporter Nicole Auerbach, and a lot of other people I've seen who are also lamenting Hendon Hooker not being in New York. This is not just some Tennessee fan whine, okay?
615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Vols and the Titans. Everything on the table coming up next. We'll be joined by Willie Donick at 9:30 as well. All that ahead. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. And listen, Superbook wants to make your parlays pop this holiday season. It's holiday season. Everybody's getting their Christmas or shopping out there going. So if you want to make a little extra money, make sure to download the Superbook app because you can win some money from Vegas with the weekly parlay bonus from Superbook Sports. If you place a three-team football parlay, Superbook will give you a $10 bonus voucher to your holiday bonus courtesy of Superbook Sports. Okay, so if we're taking a look at the Sunday slate, there's a couple games that I think could win you some money. We've got the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson still doesn't look healthy. Don't know if he's going to play this Sunday. So give me the Steelers minus the 3. I also want to look at the Houston Texans and the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys are favored by 17 points, but listen, the Houston Texans are the worst team in the NFL right now, so I'm taking the Cowboys to cover that 17. And then also, let's take it local here. We've got the Jacksonville Jaguars coming to town in Nissan Stadium. Tennessee Titans are favored by 3.5. I really like that. I think they're going to have a bounce back week. I think they're going to cover that 3.5. And I also think that they win by about a touchdown. So rack up the wins and earn some holiday cash by betting parlays with Superbook. Download the Superbook Tennessee app. Place your parlays today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Rex Road has created an absolute monster. We keep getting texts left and right about really nothing but Wham so far this morning.
Thank goodness we could shine a spotlight on Wham. What a great band. Grigsby says, can you please refer to Robinson as the other guy from Ray Rob?
Yes.
That's what we will. Yes. Also, someone mentioned the Nelson brothers as a possible Ray Rob comparison. If anybody remembers Nelson, also beautiful hair. I mean, just beautiful hair. Awful, awful music. And they had some like terrible video, but I like that one. That's not bad. I mean, there's a lot of – I mean, we could – touch the hallowed ground of Hall & Oates, but I'm not going to do that.
Friend of the show.
I mean, I guess Robinson. Yeah, because I'm not, you know, because I'm, John Oates
Welcome
to
back,
me
John.
Is right there with Hall. It is Hall and it is Oates. They have equal footing. I don't care what anybody says. John Oates, friend of the show.
That's correct. Gator Tim on the text line says, Vols fans have the right to be upset about Hooker not being a Heisman finalist. This has to be the laziest Heisman vote in history. Three finals quarterbacks and a guy who put up good stats in a weak league. Ridiculous. I assume he's referring to C.J. Stroud there.
Oh, Gator Tim?
Yeah.
You can apologize because, you know, I know you think Alabama was absolutely locked to get in because it's only about Brandon, what you've done in the past. Gator Tim. I don't remember this stuff. I got receipts.
Rex Rowe keeps his receipts.
That's right. I await your apology. Also, someone just made a good point. Thank you for Chris in Atlanta. Callaway and Holiday both enter the portal. So.
Not a huge surprise.
No, and they're talented guys, but they obviously, they had every opportunity to get into that offense and, you know, become a part of it. And Squirrel White comes right in as a true freshman and does. And then, that's just, sometimes it's as simple as the staff that recruited you is going to prioritize you over the players who were recruited by the past staff.
Baker Mayfield is now available in the NFL. He was put on waivers yesterday by Carolina. First off, When that happened, my immediate thought was, well, San Francisco just lost Jimmy Garoppolo and they've lost Trey Lance already. Maybe it would make some sense for them to go claim Baker Mayfield. But I do wonder, in the waiver situation, is he going to make it that far?
Yeah, they're the 24th. And someone has brought up the point, which would be amazing, actually. Because remember, when Seattle, we were like, they don't have a quarterback. They got to get Baker, right?
Yeah.
They could get him just to screw over the Niners.
They could.
I'm fascinated by how that's going to go down. It's not a bad idea because the Niners are good enough that, honestly, I could see Baker being enough, at least to give them a chance in the playoffs.
Well, look, Brock Purdy looked pretty good the other day.
He did. I don't want to disrespect Brock Purdy. But, another thing about that is, if you're Christian McCaffrey, you're like, dude, I just got a hell away from this guy.
Yeah, dude.
Get away from me, bro. Leave me alone, Baker. I don't know.
It's been an interesting couple of years for Baker Mayfield. He played really well 2 years ago. Played really well.
Before he had the injuries last year, he was good.
Yeah.
He was a good quarterback in the NFL.
Good quarterback. Last year, he played hurt, which I don't think served him very well, as much as you appreciate the toughness. I think it served him very well in terms of his long-term future. And then there's the Deshaun Watson stuff with Cleveland, which, by the way, I watched some of that game on Sunday because I was flipping around through Red Zone. He looked awful in that game, which I don't think is a huge surprise, but he looked pretty bad in that game. And then the Texans were the Texans, and they allowed a punt return for a touchdown and two defensive touchdowns and all that stuff. But, Mayfield goes to Carolina, and they're just trash. They're an awful team. I could absolutely see, if he made it to San Francisco through the waiver wire, him being a pretty good fit for the Niners, just based on how good they are around him.
That's the thing is, it's just hard to know because he actually – some of the other quarterbacks that were cycling through with Carolina this year played better than him at times. But it's such a bad team. I wouldn't take that as gospel on what he is. And with all the advantages you have as a quarterback in San Francisco with everything around you, really, it's like – that's one of those teams that doesn't have to have a great quarterback, I think, to win it, which we have already seen because Jimmy G almost did win it with them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Mike Tannenbaum this morning was talking about on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, if you're the Texans, you should claim Baker Mayfield and see what he's got over the next stretch here. Now, I think most Texans fans, and we talked to John McClain last week, they've got their eyes on Bryce Young. I think if I was the Texans, I'd probably let that one go. We're bad. Let's be bad, and let's go draft a quarterback.
Yeah. They're actually in position to get the franchise quarterback, and they should draft Bryce Young and just go for it, you know? So I don't even know what, you're trying to see what he has to be. I guess he could be your bridge starter, but, yeah, I don't. But what about, and I don't know where the Colts are in here. What about the Colts?
I think it would make some sense.
They try everybody else. Try Baker.
Is this number eight, I think?
They're eight?
The Colts, their eighth quarterback.
They're eighth right now? Oh, this would be their eighth. Since Luck.
Yes.
And apparently there's a really good Wickersham friend of the show, Andrew Luck, piece today. Found the first time Andrew Luck talking about his whole thing, so that'll be very interesting. I guess I'll just be surprised if he gets to the Niners one way or the other. This is where you have some, backdoor dealing if you're the Niners to get everybody to not take him.
Joey from Bellevue on the text line says, will you guys read the John McClain tweets from that game? I I did not follow along with McClain in the game, but I can just imagine how beautiful those tweets were watching the Texans take on the Browns.
I will go. Thank you for mentioning
that. Yes, thank you.
By the way, Gregory Anderson has done the Reface app with me on George Michael, and it's now we've gone too far. See, now we've gone too far, okay?
Junie on the text line says, Baker Mayfield sucks. He had one good year out of five pro years. I bet he won't even get claimed. I would almost guarantee you.
No, he'll get claimed.
Yeah.
He'll get claimed. All right, look, he may be done. He may not be good. I think that most of his career before the injured year last year was, I would call it, pretty promising, decent, solid, good. Last year, he was a shell of himself, and I don't know. That sometimes then you don't come back from that. And some people don't like him, and that can be a factor too. But to just dismiss what he's done and say he sucks, I don't think that's accurate.
Well, I mean, the question you've got to ask yourself, let's say he makes it down to 24, right, in the waiver wire order. If you're Kyle Shanahan, are you better off with Brock Purdy as your starting quarterback, or are you better off with Baker Mayfield? Like, that's basically what it comes down to at that point. My guess would be Baker Mayfield.
And
no disrespect to Brock Purdy.
Well, also, you still need QB depth because apparently your quarterbacks just get hurt left and right. So another quarterback is okay too.
Gator Tim has responded to you. He says, my argument was that a one-loss Ohio State would get in, which they did. If Bama or UT had one loss, they would have gotten in over TCU. The committee took the easy way by not including a two-loss team. The 12-team playoff coming up swayed their decision. Now, Gator Tim says that. But I specifically remember the text last week that said, quote, if TCU loses, they have no chance of getting in. And yet what happened? They lost and got in.
Did he say that? Because I'm going to find it.
Yeah, he did. I'll find it right now.
Chase said it too.
Quote, on Friday, no chance TCU is in if they lose, from Gator Tim.
Brand matters. Though Rex Road denies this fact. You're trying to lie on us when we have the written lie. You lied to us. We have it in writing, Gator Tim. You need to take a timeout.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Willie Donick. We'll get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators as they prepare to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning and a big injury on the Predators front that was announced yesterday. So we'll get to the impact of that as well. Now's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you got to do is sign up with promo code ROD. The Titans and the Jags coming up this weekend. The Titans have hit a skid here, but I think they respond and rebound coming up against Jacksonville. Give me the Titans on the money line. Give me Derrick Henry as an anytime touchdown scorer, but you can take it any way you want to take it. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Sign up today with promo code ROB for your no-sweat first bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You can make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Rex Road has hijacked the show, and we're nothing but Wham references from the 80s now on the program. But one person who will appreciate that as we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, is our good friend Willie Donick from Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, and obviously also the voice of the Nashville Predators on Bally Sports. Willie, good morning. How are we doing? What are your thoughts on Wham?
Well, when I was in junior high and high school, I definitely did not appreciate Wham like I do now because it was kind of like every single girl in your junior high had Wham stickers and drawings and posters all over everything they had, like sketching George Michael onto their notebook. And, you know, I always had that kind of like, hey, what about me? I'm right here.
That's right.
You know, I'm right here. What about me? You know, but it was Duran Duran. And Wham, they just took over everything. Maybe a little U2, but I absolutely appreciate George Michael and Wham now 100% way more than I did back then.
Well, I know you had beautifully feathered hair also, but you know, Willie, you just made me think of seventh grade. My girlfriend couldn't go to the dance, so she was like, you can dance, with some of like the other girls, but do not dance with them for Careless Whisper. So I did not. I did not dance during Careless Whisper in seventh grade.
You didn't hold a boombox with Wham playing out her window?
Just beautiful
what a
stuff.
Fantastic program
beautiful
this is.
Beautiful stuff from Rex Road today. So, Willie, obviously not good news for the Predators yesterday. Ryan McDonough going to be out 2 to 4 weeks dealing with the upper body injury that he sustained against the Islanders. And it just feels particularly bad timing from a couple of standpoints, Willie. There's never a great time to lose Ryan McDonough, but you got a lot of divisional games coming up. He's going to miss the reunion in Tampa Bay. And I really feel like he and Josi together as a pairing have played really well. What sort of an impact do you think this injury has on the Preds?
Yeah, it's a big one. I agree with that last point you made. I think it was just starting to really come together in terms of the chemistry between Ryan McDonough and Roman Josi. ESPN showed a really good stat, and I was aware of it, but I guess I didn't really see the minutes coming together. But Roman Josi and Ryan McDonough 5-on-5 have not allowed a goal with them on the ice, which is a pretty darn good stat. I mean, you think about it, it's not like they're dominating everything, but that's a huge stabilizing move because, as we know, they've tried Ryan McDonough with some different guys, and it hasn't gone as well. So he was just settling into his role, I think, and now you've got to do without him for 2 to 4 weeks. And like you said, you know, that's a lot of responsibility that you tie up in a guy like that. So the depth is going to be tested big time here over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, so how would you expect the shuffling to look, Willie?
Well, they earlier in the season, when Jordan Gross came up, he played a couple of games, and they did put him some with Roman Josi. But what they did was they put Jordan Gross with Josi on some occasions, and then really when the game was on the line, they sort of double-shifted Matthias Ekholm. They got creative. At times you saw Josi and Ekholm together. I would expect that you would see that quite a bit. I think Ekholm and Carrier have also settled in. If you take a look at some analytic sites, you'll see a lot of 14 and 45. That's Carrier and Ekholm at the top of some charts with their effectiveness as a duo. So you don't want to split up that pair. It's really weird because Alex Carrier has 0 points, and everybody's looking at that, and I'm dumbfounded by that as well. I don't know how that's happened, but defensively, those two have played very well together. So I think you're going to see some creativity. But the problem is they don't really have that next defensive phenom that they've usually had in their back pocket for a long time. The prospects are very, very good in Milwaukee at forward and obviously at goalie, but they don't really have that phenom on the way up as a defenseman.
Willie, what do you make of the way that Matt Duchene has played really over the last week and a half, 2 weeks? Do you feel like he's starting to maybe settle in and look more like the Matt Duchene we saw from last year?
Well, it's really encouraging. I think if you take a look at the last couple of games here, why have the Predators won? You know, it's not as if they've dominated the game, especially the Islanders game, right? They were battling to stay alive. They had the lead, but how did they win the game? The playmakers made the play. Matt Duchene made a great cross-ice pass to Philip Forsberg, who buries a power play goal. Matt Duchene, at the end of the game, they're hanging on to a lead for dear life. What does he do? He makes a great steal just inside the blue line and is able to battle with a guy hanging all over him and buries an empty net goal. Needless to say, the Devils game. He made the great play in the corner. That's what you love seeing from Matt Duchene. If he's doing that and he's playing like a star player, it makes all the difference in the world for this team.
Willie, should the Kevin Lankinen performance so far, and I know it hasn't been a big sample size, but should that cast doubt the next time, you know, we try to evaluate like a goaltender based on both, you know, traditional stats and underlying numbers? Because everything about that move at the time said, what are we missing here? But obviously he's been very good.
I mean, he's been better than very good. I think you take a look, and like you said, Joe, we're not talking about a ton of games here, but I would contend that every single game that he's played has been better than the best game that David Rittich played all of last year. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but
totally agree.
He's playing at such a high level that not only is he giving them a great chance to win, you know, he stole the game against the Islanders. There's no question about it. He played fantastic to win if he's not dead letter perfect almost. But it's giving them the confidence to rest UC Saros, which was the goal all along. Get somebody that they could trust to play 20 games, 25 games, so that UC Saros is rested every time he goes in there. So this has been a home run pickup so far, and I agree with you. At the time that they made that signing, I wasn't quite sure about all the decision-making behind it, but once you learned about it, the way the Pecorine and UC Saros kind of went to Kevin Lankinen, who they'd known for a long time, I think they both vouched for him to the organization, but they also had to sell Kevin Lankinen, who could have gone back to Chicago to start, or could have gone to other places to start. They said, this is going to be a great stop for you in your career. You're going to learn a lot, and we're going to put you in a position to succeed.
Willie Donick with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Willie, you've got the Tampa game Thursday and the Ottawa game after that. So two games in the Eastern Conference that you want to get points out of. And then after that, it's St. Louis, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Colorado, Edmonton, Chicago, Colorado, Dallas for the rest of this month before closing it out with Anaheim and Vegas. There's a whole lot of Central Division games and a whole lot of Western Conference games coming up. So with that being said, I realize it's December and there's still plenty of season left. But how big are these next 3 weeks for this Predators team, just based simply on who they're playing?
Well, the other thing, too, Robbie, is it's compressed.
Yep.
They have this 5-day break where we all don't know what we're doing with ourselves. And it's funny, the Predators did that little spoof on Roman Josi getting the haircut. That's what you do when you don't have a game for 5 days. You come up with crazy, batty stuff that makes everybody laugh. That was hilarious, I thought. And if you haven't seen it, take a look at the Predators Twitter with Roman Josi deciding to cut the hair.
It's pretty good.
But I think it's going to be a race all year long. If you look at the West, the Blues lost. I find myself already checking the scores and saying, okay, who lost in the West? Because it's 11 or 12 teams deep. You know there's going to be a couple teams that have sort of bailed, and they're not trying to win anyway, like San Jose is in that mix. Obviously, Arizona and Chicago, maybe one or two other teams. Obviously, Anaheim's going through a big rebuild. But other than that, I think every game is big. But I think it's important that you're consistent through all of this. And that's where I think coming back to Lankinen with the compressed schedule, I think he's going to play even a bigger role in the coming weeks once this thing gets cranking again.
All right, now let's get back into Wham. Now, actually, Willie, the Wham comparison, of course, goes to the Vrabel, Robinson, Vrabel, sort of the split right now, right? I mean, Vrabel is everybody's superstar, and obviously John Robinson increasing criticism, which I think is warranted. What is your view of that and just, of, I guess, the standing of Robinson? I don't think there's a hint of heat on his seat in reality, but fans are upset, and I get it. How do you view that and those two together?
Well, I think if you take a look, I think it's important to sort of take a view of the full league and not just who's won a championship. We had a big debate yesterday on our show about what did you think the record of the Titans was going to be at this point after 12 games? And then not even considering, I said, then throw on top all the issues they've had with Luan, with Landry, and on down the line. They've had quite a bit to deal with. So I think they should be thrilled that they're 7-5. But that, again, goes back to your expectation level. If your expectation level is they're supposed to win the championship, then that's a pretty high expectation. And just about everybody in the league is going to fall short of that expectation. But I think the good very much outweighs the bad. They've been very consistent. The knock, of course, and like we talk about the Predators a lot, right? They've won a lot, but they haven't had the postseason success that's really satisfying to a fan base. But would I take that over a wild card of making a change? Yeah, I would take that. I think the two work very well together, and they obviously have some flaws, but I like what they do as a duo. You think back a long time ago, Jeff Fisher and Floyd Reese, they didn't always see eye to eye, but they worked together for a long time and they won a lot of games.
Well, Willie, we enjoy this segment every Tuesday morning at 9:30. Appreciate you taking time to join us, and we'll hear from you here in about 20 minutes.
Okay, sounds good. And Joe, I think we should start a podcast, 80s music and going back to when Willie and Joe were in high school and making the parallels. That's I think right. That would be a really good listen.
As long as we can talk about Kaja Gugu, I'm down with it, man.
I would listen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Willie.
Kaja Gugu, really good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Willie. Appreciate you. Willie Donick brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. Take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Sunday following the Titans game, tune in for the NFL postgame with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow, live from the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway. Postgame show brought to you by Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, now with a huge inventory of in-stock vehicles to choose from, and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today.
Hey, I gotta tell you, this song, I swear to you, Caroline Rexroad knows every line and always asks for it to be played. I don't know even how that got going, but huge fan. Got to do it at karaoke sometime. It's also, I don't think there's too many examples of a singer. You know how you have like overlay of your vocals and like sometimes it'll like, but two. In that song, George Michael is singing a solo three times at one time. Like you talk about a narcissist. Like there's three different vocals of George Michael singing on top of each other in one song. It's pretty amazing stuff.
God bless the 80s.
Wham.
This podcast is a good idea. Let's do it, Willie.
Sure, it would be very popular out there.
Men without hats. I mean, there's so many options.
Joe, we spent a lot of time discussing the Titans today and the big picture part of it. On the field, now you turn your attention to Jacksonville, and you're 7-5, and for all intents and purposes, you win this game on Sunday, and you basically wrapped up the division if you're the Titans. At that point. So, I don't know. Like, with the problems that we've talked about and discussed, I also look at the immediacy of the game Sunday, Joe, and I fully expect the Titans to respond. I fully expect them to win the game, and I think they'll win. I think their defense will look really good in this game coming up on Sunday. It doesn't change the big picture conversation that we've been having, but right now, I mean, if you're Vrabel, we do the offensive line situation that is in flux. I guess that's interesting this week. I mean, he didn't shut the door yesterday on maybe a change being made at left tackle or maybe LaRaven Clark coming in there and getting some snaps. But my guess is it's probably going to still end up being Dennis Daly out there, and we'll see if they play better against this Jacksonville front. But beyond the big picture discussion of this Titans team, which we spent a lot of the last two days having, there's a game this week that I feel pretty good about their chances of coming back and winning.
Yeah, and if you're wrong, then we can really panic next week, okay? I mean, we can really – yeah, I think they'll respond. And, again, like I don't think there's any, like, big picture, like, issue with, you know, like the intangibles that you need to try to win a football game. I think they are just deficient at some spots, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, if you want to try to make a change to LaRaven Clark, it's not like you even do that much practicing at this point of the year. You know what I mean? So I guess I'd be surprised. But Vrabel certainly opened the door to, like, you know, calling it a competition.
Yeah.
And I still – I mean, I do wonder why Dylan Raiden's – like, I would actually think that Dylan Raiden's would be a better chance than LaRaven Clark. And I'm not saying either of them are a good opportunity. There's a reason Dennis Daly has just had that job the whole time, right? Whatever they settle on there, I mean, look, it's just you're going to have to – that's going to be a problem at times. You're going to have to help that area at times. Sometimes you got to help NPF on the other side, and you know, you have to be creative to work around these things at the coaching level too.
Ron on the text line asked, do you think the Titans will win this week and then rest their big-time players? Well, they're not going to rest their big-time players with over a month remaining in the schedule. Now, could some guys be maybe on the edge that it would make sense to give them another week off that maybe are playing through some stuff right now? Yeah, I think I could see them doing that. But, like, there's this idea out there that the Titans are going to wrap up the division and then they're just going to basically tell Ryan Tannehill to sit down for 4 weeks. And that's not going to happen.
No.
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, no. But I do think, yeah, like guys who are close, if they had clinched, you know, maybe in the last couple weeks, if they were a team that had clinched, maybe Jeff Simmons doesn't play in one of those weeks. Stuff like that. So I think anyone who's not fully healthy will probably get a break. But it's not like they're going to just go straight up. I mean, you really can't. Yeah, you just go straight up all backups or whatever. It's not going to be that extreme.
Well, I mean, you have roster limitations.
Yeah, exactly.
As
like
to
you can't do it. You can't make the moves to do that.
In college football, you could do that.
Right.
Because there's not roster limitations. You can't do that in the NFL. Now, I mean, I also think there's a balance that you got to figure out. Like, I fully expect whether it's 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, whenever it is, that the Titans will have the division wrapped up. And they're probably going to be the four seed. I mean, that's just the way things are going to work out. They're probably going to be the four seed in the AFC. So, I mean, from that standpoint, like if you're Vrabel, there's not really anything to play for in the regular season in terms of you won the division, you're not going to be the one seed, you know you're probably going to be the four seed at some point if it goes the way we think. So what do you do the last couple of weeks of the regular season? I think that's a legitimate conversation, but like if they wrapped up the division next week, they're not going to like sit Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and all their starters for 3 weeks heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, and remember, there's also, with a lot of these things, there's also contractual elements to certain players' performance and participation, and there's a lot to it. Like you said, college football is just totally different. You can do whatever you want. You have full freedom to, you got 100 guys to choose from and all that stuff. So, for the most part, we'll see the same team out there. But, yeah, I mean, I think some of those guys who are on the fringe, it could certainly be a benefit. Make sure Bud Dupree's hip is good. Make sure Jeff Simmons' ankle is good. You know, make sure that Christian Fulton's hamstring is good and David Long's groin and on and on and on because, you know, just about everybody other than Iron Man Kevin Byard, who never gets hurt at all, has had some kind of injury this year.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Very well done. Yeah, so, I mean, first things first, you got to win the game. I mean, look, I think the divisional race is over. We've talked about that. But if you lose, you're 7-6, and then Jacksonville's 5-8. Like, you can't wrap it up this week. If you win, you're 8-5. Jacksonville will be 4-9. Technically, you could still both finish at 8-9 at that point. So, you can't really wrap it up this week. But by all intents and purposes, I mean, is Jacksonville going to finish out the season going on a winning streak that way? I don't think so. They got absolutely destroyed by the Detroit Lions.
Right.
By the way, pretty hot. Lions are hot.
Wow. Yeah. Those watch out for those mighty Lions. Yeah, I mean, if you're the Jaguars, you are basically like, look, we got two shots against these guys, including the finale. Got to win out. Got to start here. If they get it, well, then I don't even know what do they have between this one and I mean, if they have other AFC South games,
they have
games,
another
then,
Texans
hey.
Game in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Texans have already beaten them once this year.
The Texans
their
have.
Lone win.
That's a revenge game, as we know. That's the most important thing is revenge games in the NFL. But, you know, look, if you're the Jaguars, at least you do have control. You do have control. You're coming off the 40-14 loss of the line. Yeah, they got the Cowboys at home.
Jets.
Going to the Jets. Yeah. Probably not great. But you win this game and you're 5-8 and you're like, well, we can beat them again at home. So, and also you're like, okay, and they have the Cowboys still and they have the Chargers on the road next. So,
you're talking yourself into it.
If you win this game, yeah. You're at least like, hey, keep hope alive for the rest of the season.
I still can't figure it. Like, Jacksonville, at times, you watch them play. They actually look pretty good at times. Like, their defense, I think, has gotten better. Trevor Lawrence every now and then will make some throws. You're like, okay, yeah, I can see that. And then I watched some of that game Sunday and then playing against the Lions, and you're just like, geez, they're awful. They're a really weird team.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got some flaws. We were talking about this off the air, but also from that game. Again, Amon-Ra St. Brown
yeah.
is a tremendous player for the Lions. They sometimes do luck into some good players. How different might things be here if the Titans just taking him instead of Dez Fitzpatrick in that draft?
Jeez.
Eesh. I mean, you can play that game all day, but I'm just saying there's one that comes to mind.
That's a painful one if you're yes. a Titans fan.
On that note.
That's going to do it for
no
us today.
No encore from Wham.
In the Wham Ray edition Rob. Of Robbie and Rex Road today. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.